This podcast contains some strong language. Viewer discretion is advised.
The women in tattooing project show.
Welcome back. This interview comes to you from February 2020. It's taken me so long to edit it because it was at least twice the length, as Alexis was way too fun to talk to. Although some of you may not have minded a two-hour interview, I figured I should probably pare it down to about 40 minutes. It was really hard to cut anything out between her stories from the Women's Summit in LA, chats about the importance of diversity in the workplace, her tricks to accomplishing more each day through micro-planning, and seeing the value in working with our mental health in order to see our successes. Oh yeah, and that time she held a monkey. Alexis is such a hard worker and an amazing woman. I hope that you enjoy this interview. I'm here at Gastown Tattoo in Vancouver with Alexis Thompson. If you want to follow her on Instagram, that's Alexis E. Thompson without a P. I'm really stoked to be back in this space because not that long ago, a year ago actually.
About a year ago, yeah.
You spent a few sessions working on a big thigh piece, well, big for me, of a screech owl with a lantern, which was fun because when I had contacted you about it, you sent me a message back saying no problem, I can get you in. And I was like, oh my gosh, how did that line up so quickly? Because I was anticipating this huge weight. But then you had said to me that you had an owl on you and it kind of resonated with you. So that was a sweet little moment.
Yeah. If you'll basically send me a bird tattoo and you'll get right in. Those are kind of my favorites to do. So,
you know, it's funny. Let's maybe even start there because I usually have a list of stuff that I want to chat about. Mm. And there's just bird written here.
So you
do a lot of birds.
I do a lot of birds. So the weird part is birds actually used to be maybe my least favorite tattoo to draw. Mm. I had such a hard time figuring out their anatomy. And yeah, every time I got a bird tattoo book, I was like, I don't know how to draw these. But I guess it was just a matter of kind of buckling down and doing it and figuring out how to make it work. Mm. And yeah, just, you know, a couple of years later, it's like 80, 90% of what I do is birds and flowers. So, yeah. And now it's one of my favorite things to tattoo.
Was there a comfort zone before all the birds and everything? Something that you found that you were more drawn to?
I actually did quite a lot of more sort of traditional kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And yeah, just kind of over time, I just started putting more and more lines into things and it developed into what it is now.
Would you say it's called neo-traditional? Is that...
I would say, I mean, they're all so kind of closely linked, but I would say I'm somewhere on the neo-traditional illustrative kind of spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's
nature-oriented, yeah. Lots of browns. Weren't you saying you order like a lot of brown?
I get made fun of for how many caps of brown I pour, but to be fair, some are brown, but some are tan. They're very different. Yeah, I'm a big fan of brown. Mm-hmm. I think it's an underrated color.
So with your style, with all the nature elements to them, I recently saw that you posted a face and that seemed a little bit out of the ordinary.
It's so funny. So many people commented, like, I've never seen you do a tattoo of a human before.
Do you just not post them or have you done other women or people?
I don't get them as often as I do maybe animals or more botanical kind of stuff. I used to do them quite a bit, I feel, but they do tend to be a part of usually like larger scale projects. So, you know, a sleeve, a leg sleeve, back piece. And up until recently, I never really posted pieces that were kind of in progress.
Right.
Maybe that's kind of part of the reason that they don't really show up on the gram so much.
Yeah.
I'm also just bad at Instagram.
It's a thing.
So, yeah.
It's an art form to itself.
It is. I constantly am lamenting that I dropped out of art school midway through photography class, thinking, I don't need
Why
this.
Why would I need this?
Totally. I'm going to be a tattooer. I don't need this shit. Oh, yeah. Now I kind of wish I had maybe I've been taking that class a little more seriously.
So what kind of caused the dropout from art college?
I think, honestly, it was irresponsibility. It was my first time kind of out of my parents' house. So I went into college right after high school. Mm-hmm. So I was 18, out on my own with a roommate for the first time, yeah. You know, working kind of my first job at this coffee shop down the street. Mm-hmm. I ended up dropping out of school, mm-hmm. quitting my job, mm-hmm. and moving back in with my parents within about a year and a half. So, yeah.
I feel like no one should really go to school at 18. Like,
you don't know what you want. I honestly, it wasn't the right fit for me. Mm-hmm. And I don't think any school would have been. I'm just not really like a school kind of person. And mm-hmm. I kind of look at my apprenticeship as my schooling.
Awesome. So, hey, who did you apprentice with?
So I apprenticed under Steve Cole. Mm-hmm. He's known more frequently as the Bread Man. And he owns a shop called Ashlar up in Squamish, British mm-hmm. Columbia. A little mountain town, maybe hour and a half out of Vancouver. Yeah, so I apprenticed with him when he was still working in Van at a shop called Sacred Heart, which is kind of one of the, I think, best sort of Vancouver shops. It's been around for 25 plus years, I believe. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was really great. I learned a lot, did a lot of growing up there because I think I was about 19 when I started my apprenticeship. So.
You just like rock up with your portfolio or what happened there?
More like tiptoed in shaking with my portfolio. Yes. I'd been getting tattooed at the shop by another artist for a while. And back then I didn't even know it was one of the best shops in town. It was just kind of, you know, the neighborhood tattoo shop. But I've been getting tattooed there. I know, it's a lucky break for sure. But I've been getting tattooed there and I would usually kind of drop my own sort of design. Obviously, I had the artists rework it because they knew far better what they were doing than I did. But I guess the artist that I was working with thought that they were pretty good. So, you know, we started chatting over the sessions and I kind of mentioned how I'd kind of always wanted to be a tattooer. And he mentioned Steve's name, who wasn't looking for an apprentice at the time, but he would be kind of willing to take one on if it was the right fit. And I didn't feel ready at the time, so I actually went away and just kind of worked on my drawings for another maybe 6 months to a year before feeling confident enough to come back, get tattooed by Steve, and ask if I could bring in my portfolio just for even some feedback.
Great.
I wasn't even expecting anything to come out of it. So we did that and began an apprenticeship.
The rest is history.
Yeah.
How long was your apprenticeship?
It was about 3 years.
That's pretty long.
It's a pretty long time. And I'm glad that it was.
You put your work in, hey?
Yes.
Cool.
I split my time working front of house for the shop, usually 5 days a week. And then going in kind of 1 day a week for apprentice days. Mm-hmm. And then drawing homework and all that kind of stuff over top of that. Mm-hmm. But I am glad that it was a longer apprenticeship because, again, I was so young.
Yeah.
I think I needed that time to kind of grow up and learn more not only about, you know, the art and the craft and the materials and all that, but also just life.
That's huge.
How to interact with clients. Yeah, so yeah. I'm glad that I kind of had that time to kind of grow up a little bit.
Great.
Until I was prepared to actually kind of get into my career. Not a lot of people start their career at 19, so.
No.
Yeah.
Where did you move from there?
So from there, I ended up taking on my first job tattooing at Adrenaline on Granville Street.
Is that a chain? Because I got some. Oh, yeah. In Toronto, I got one of my first tattoos.
Did you?
Yeah, I mistakenly got a tribal tattoo.
Sweet.
Yes.
Making a comeback?
Yes. Mm. I was, I think, 18 at the time or something, and I had a treble clef on my hip because that was a cool decision.
Yeah.
And then I wanted some embellishments, and I just popped into Adrenaline and was like, can you do something that looks like a staff but cooler? And she was like, yeah, no problem. And then she tattooed a tribal tattoo on me and I was like, oh, okay.
That's one interpretation.
But you know, I think you gotta have a nice broad mix of tattoos throughout all the eras that you were getting tattooed.
Totally. If you don't have some bad tattoos, then you haven't
living?
Yeah, you haven't been getting tattooed long enough. Yeah, and honestly, tribal is cool again.
So it is cool again. It's happening,
yeah.
Hey?
It is, yeah.
It's interesting. Well, yeah. I mean, I guess a lot of things from that era are becoming super cool anyway.
Which isn't so aggravating when something from what I still think the 90s happened 10 years ago.
I know.
But so all of a sudden it's like vintage it and it's like... How am I vintage?
Am I old now?
Yeah. Also, everyone's versions of what we were rocking back there is way cuter.
Yeah, I know.
Like, I didn't look that cute in my tie-dye and overalls in grade 5.
No, the overalls I own now are so much cooler than the overalls I owned back then. It's not even a competition. So anyway, speaking of things that happened in the past, not that far off in the past, you went to something pretty cool. The summit. So it was the Explorer Tattoo Conference Women's Summit in Los Angeles, November 2019. Is this correct information?
Yes, that's correct information.
Okay. So you did a nice long post on that, but I just wanted to speak more to that. Like, I wanted to find out what was it all about. Like,
sure.
Why did it happen?
Sure.
Tell me.
Well, I think much maybe the same reason that this podcast is happening. Just I think there is something to be learned from the experiences of maybe more marginalized groups in industries that are typically male-driven. So I think it was a bit of an opportunity to kind of share those experiences with one another, learn from them. And yeah, it was a really incredible event. There were, you know, all genders represented. There was all stages of tattooer represented. You know, there's apprentices there. Cool. There was 25-year-plus veterans there. All just kind of, learning about tattooing in general, learning about women's history in tattooing, which I actually knew very embarrassingly little about before I got into this conference, because much like regular history, women's history isn't usually covered as much.
A little suppressed.
It's, a little bit. So it was a 3-day long event, and each day there were usually about 3 kind of full-length presentations.
Oh, cool.
Which were roughly an hour and a half each, and then a couple kind of shorter little presentations. There were some suppliers there bringing kind of, got these like new machines, new whatever, which was
women
awful
who were making
for
the machines or what?
No, not necessarily. Okay.
You're going to show up at a women's summit.
Well, again, I mean, there were people from all genders.
Sure, of course.
Which was so awesome to see because, maybe being a little close-minded myself, I kind of went in thinking, well, it's going to be like a bunch of rad chicks and this is going to be so cool. But seeing so many people of not only different genders, but just different backgrounds across the board, I think is so important because, again, that's the whole purpose of a seminar like that, is learning from the experiences of someone who's maybe had a very different life than you. And
if it's just a homogenous group of people,
exactly,
there's less to learn.
What's the point?
What is the point? We gotta learn from each other.
Totally. Which is, that's why I'm so glad that, women are more represented in tattooing now, because I do think it's for the benefit of everybody. If you've got a sort of diverse workplace, you've got so many different points of view, socially, artistically. So it's really great to kind of be in a situation like that where people are coming to learn, they're coming to hear stories from other people. It was really enlightening, really inspiring for sure.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Are there any cool kind of little facts that you found out?
I mean, there was a really interesting seminar presented by Carrie Barba, who's legendary, about women's tattoo history, going back to not ancient, but maybe pre kind of modern era tattooing, where actually a lot of the time, traditionally, the tattooers were women, because it was usually the women's job to be storytellers, and that was kind of, part of the tattooing process. Jinxie gave an amazing seminar about artistic mental health as a working professional artist, how to kind of manage your own mental health. Yeah, so she kind of covered, like creative burnout, which is something we all deal with a ton. This actually happened recently. So this time maybe was an example of perhaps my hubris getting a little bit away from me, where I sat down to do my drawing. It's like, okay, well, no big deal. It's some birds, some flowers. I've got this. And it just wouldn't come out. And I really rarely do this to people because I hate doing this, but I had to text my client and be like, I'm not ready for you. I need more time to draw.
Oh, interesting. Do you draw the night before or is it?
Well, this time I was. I prefer to draw maybe like 2 to 3 days before.
Sure.
It's kind of my sweet spot. Yeah. But too long before and you end up just kind of revisiting the drawing over and over and over again and almost overworking it.
Yeah. And I think probably you in particular, because I will never forget our second session.
Oh God, what happened?
You looked at something and you're like, there it is. That's the one feather that I didn't do this one line on.
Oh,
and I
was
so impressed because you looked back on the pictures from the first session and you'd notice this minute detail.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
in that moment I was like, oh girl.
Really?
Like, I was so impressed.
Oh gosh.
I mean, but the detail, attention to detail. So I could see, if you are pre-drawing something, giving it a nice sweet spot time frame.
Yeah, because sometimes it'll just drive you nuts. Mm-hmm. And I do feel like I need a little bit of that sort of time pressure to kind of, light that fire under you.
Yeah. Did you find that the workshop kind of material on mental health was able to give you a little bit of, a tool maybe to work with so that you could revisit? Cool.
Yeah. This is something that I do a lot of the time anyway, but just kind of scheduling.
Sure.
And not in terms of scheduling your appointments and stuff, but scheduling your day out and making sure that you actually have enough time in the day to accomplish all the kind of micro goals you're setting for yourself.
Girl, that sounds productive.
That sounds so intelligent.
Like a businesswoman.
If you put the term micro in front of things, it sounds super smart.
It does. Yeah.
So, in that way, kind of, you're not going to sort of disappoint yourself by not, reaching all those things that you want to do, which I'm totally guilty of.
Awesome. Were there any other cool take-homes that you experienced from that weekend?
I want to say that nobody walks in LA, and it's really fucking weird walking around in LA.
Weird.
Yeah. And
I did that last summer,
right?
And everyone was looking at me, and then I got really hot.
Yeah.
That's why.
Yeah.
Then I realized, that's why.
That's why.
Yeah.
Well, it's a very spread out town, so everyone drives.
It is.
But,
or Ubers.
Yeah.
You
know. But the sidewalks are so huge.
I know.
So it's creepy that no one's walking on them. Weird. Anyway, take-homes from the weekend. So, the presentation by Jinxie was really great. Especially, actually, I got to chat with her a little bit after her presentation because I've been pretty vocal about, I've struggled with mental health issues. I think everyone has. So I love that she just had such a positive way of kind of approaching things.
Mm-hmm.
Even the way that she kind of broached the subject of anxiety, which I struggle with a lot, where she was kind of saying, anxiety sucks to go through. No one likes feeling that way. But if you look at it kind of silver lining, Steez, it means that you give a shit. Then I remember when I started tattooing, shaking like a leaf every time. And God, why can't I just calm down? It's because I gave so many shits. In that way, it was kind of cool to kind of reframe something I've always looked at as being a bit of a hindrance and something sort of negative. And taking that into kind of anxiety is like the millennials' disease. We've all got it. And it just shows that I care. So maybe it's not so bad.
It's a blessing and a curse to feel so deeply, When you came back from the Women's Summit, did you find that you had the inspiration that you were talking about, did that translate into your work itself?
Totally. I did a couple up for grabs.
Sweet. Because that's not super common for you, is it? I feel like I don't see
much.
that on your feed.
So I don't think I've ever actually drawn and painted a proper flash sheet.
Ever?
I know.
Amazing. How did this happen?
I
what
know.
Did you do when you first
I
started?
Feel, well,
like at Adrenaline, were you just doing walk-ins?
Yeah, for the most part, I kind of skipped that whole phase, which makes me feel a bit like an imposter. But
hey, it takes all walks of life to get
but
there.
But yeah, I mean...
That wasn't a saying.
It could be.
It could be.
We can coin it right
now.
Oh,
great.
But yeah, I do tend to do more kind of custom work. So
yeah,
definitely when I got back, I think I kind of doodled out a couple things real quick and kind of threw them up on on the old socials. Mm-hmm. Tattooing's so weird now.
I know, it's so bizarre.
Yeah, it's bizarre.
I love it. But it takes over.
It does.
All I look at.
I know. So I find myself, I haven't even like retained the information that I'm looking at. Mm. I'm just scroll, double tap. Yeah.
Sometimes it'll come up as, you know, there's that screen where it shows you all the things you've liked before.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
when did I like that?
How strange.
I know. And I think that's why I'm so bad with names as well, especially with tattooers and stuff. So when people are like, oh, who's your favorite? Who's some of your favorite artists? I'm like, I don't know their real name because I only know their Instagram handle.
Yeah.
And even then, I'm a little sketchy on what exactly that is. There's like a P and a Z and a 9 in there.
I can't pronounce it.
Yeah.
Getting back to so you're inspired after you did some flash. And
sure, yeah.
That all went kind of jammy. Mm-hmm. Did you find that you did any actual, not actual, did you do any paintings after?
Yeah. Nice. It's been pretty cool space that we have here at the shop. We're lucky enough to have this big open space that we've started up, this kind of art gallery.
Oh yes. I wanted to touch on this.
Yes.
I love being at a tattoo shop that also has an art gallery that's serving liquor.
And I think, yes, it's also a very important part. I think it's interesting to me. I've had so many clients over the past several years kind of be astonished that most of the tattooers are also artists in their spare time.
Yeah, because there's not a lot of spare time.
Well,
but your micro planning is doing wonders.
Yes. Yes, that micro planning. But just by which I mean, because tattooing is first and foremost a trade.
Yeah.
It's not an art form. I think it's an art form kind of secondary to the craft. Yeah. So a lot of people, I think, don't consider that, especially nowadays, a lot of us are coming out of art schools and, you know, we've been painters or sculptors or illustrators before getting into tattooing, which is actually how I got into tattooing. I'm kind of more from that side of things. So yeah, it's pretty cool to showcase kind of what else we can do. And now these art shows are kind of going beyond just the artists at the shop. We try and kind of showcase work just from local artists, tattooers or not, from around the city or around BC. We've also had a few people kind of submit things from across the country. A couple of people from the States have submitted to shows in the past, which is really cool. But it does also give me a reason to dust out the old paint sets and get back into that, which is really special.
There's nothing like a deadline to really get the fire going.
It's true. Yeah.
How often are you doing the shows here?
So we try and do them, we rotate every month and a half or so.
That's pretty quick.
It's pretty quick. We do kind of seasonal group shows, which usually kind of have one sort of theme and, you know, either we'll commission a whole bunch of different people to submit, or sometimes we'll even put out like a public announcement. And then between those, we tend to do sort of individual showcases.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, so it's been really great. And again, yeah, it is that deadline kind of forcing me to get back into kind of what was the thing that got me into the arts in the first place, my first love, which is painting. So that's been really great to be able to kind of embrace that again. It's really nice, especially too, coming from work where tattooing does have a lot of restrictions, and being able to just kind of come home and fling some paint around and
what medium do you like working in?
So I love acrylics, which is, I think, a little bit looked down upon in the fine arts industry.
Hey, yeah, I know.
It is, because it's not as sort of high caliber as oils.
Sure.
It's not as nuanced as watercolors.
Yes.
It's kind of a little bit like, I don't know why it's looked down upon.
It's almost
so
like
much.
With acrylic, if you royally fuck it up, you can kind of just paint over it unless you did mostly in black, and then you got to really layer it on with other things.
So,
you know?
So one of my coworkers, Arlen, who's actually co-curator of the gallery, he once referred to one of my paintings as a lumpy painting, which I really like because
texture.
Yes, texture. Because when I was taught to acrylic paint, it was very lumpy. Cool. Just slap that shit on there.
One of those spatula ones, you know? What are those called again? The knives. Painting knives.
It's a spatula.
Yeah.
Is it?
I don't know.
I dropped out of art school. So, I don't know. I will use this opportunity to give a shout out to local Vancouver artist Lori Manson. Taught me how to paint. I went to her for children's art classes after school.
That's adorable.
I know. So she had converted...
Are we talking like elementary school here?
Oh, yeah. In her tie-dye and overalls, which are cool again.
They are cool again. Yeah. They were probably cool then, too.
So, she was a working artist. She had converted her garage space into her art studio. She did these sort of kids classes were a group kind of thing, and then she also offered adult classes. So I went to her for a few years as a child, and then in high school I ended up actually coming back to her for one-on-one adult classes.
Cool.
And it was really cool because it wasn't so much of like a lesson plan sort of thing, but more just almost like an apprenticeship, working side by side. She's working on paintings for a show she has coming up. I'm doing whatever the fuck all I'm doing. But just kind of being around another artist, especially someone who's better than you, was really great. So she was a really important figure in my life.
Cool.
I did want to get back to the art gallery.
The last time I was in, it was the Cryptid.
Yes.
Which was such a cool experience. I didn't know what a cryptid was until I got there.
Okay.
For those of you who don't know, they are... Well, how would you describe it?
I mean, most people would know cryptids from the term cryptozoology, which is the study of...
Obviously.
Micro cryptozoology.
Yes. Yeah. For your professional cryptids.
Yeah. So cryptozoology is the study of creatures who may or may not exist. Mm-hmm. And the term given to those is cryptid. Mm-hmm. So something like Sasquatch, Chupacabra, Nessie.
Yeah.
It spans tons of different cultures all throughout history. So this was our fall group show. So it seemed kind of fitting to do something kind of monster based for Halloween season.
Totally.
My favorite season.
Oh, I know, right? And one of the things I really liked was how quickly all the art sold.
Yes.
That is so rad. So how often does that happen? Is that pretty much every show?
Yeah, usually every show. I mean, it's great because as a visual artist, it's difficult to make a living. There's the term starving artist is there for a reason, which is why something like tattooing is so great. While growing up, I was like, okay, great. Like, my only skill is I can kind of draw good. What the fuck am I going to do with that?
Because what will I ever do with this skill? And now, oh my gosh.
But,
we've got a generation of art collectors out now. It's beautiful.
Well, so with these art shows, you know, original fine art pieces are not something that's high on the list for a lot of people in terms of purchases.
Yeah.
I get it.
It's a certain demographic.
It's a certain demographic. It tends to cost a lot because it costs a lot to make.
Sure.
It's not something that you'd maybe normally buy for yourself. But if you're coming to an event and a piece really speaks to you, I need this in my house or my workplace.
That's how I
or
do everything.
Whatever. Totally. And I think everything at these shows is priced pretty fair. I'm always actually kind of astonished by how low some people price their work because I think everyone has a similar sort of mentality in terms of everyone should be able to afford at least one piece of original art. It seems like such a luxurious item, but I actually just bought one of my first sort of originals last year. And it's very special to me. And just, I just need this in my life. Like, I can't explain. I know that in one regard, yes, it's just a thing. It's a physical object. But if looking at it every day brings you some kind of joy, then fucking why not?
I know. Your car can break down tomorrow and cost you a grand. Or you can spend your money on something that makes you feel.
Totally. And that's the same with tattoos.
Yeah.
When people ask me, I think one of the rudest questions people ask me pretty often, and when I say when I say people, I mean like strangers on the street.
Oh, these are my favorite.
Like, how much did those cost? because it kind of sounds a little bit like they're judging me for my fiscal management.
Yeah, I know.
You know, some people spend, hundreds of thousands on cars that they can't drive.
Oh, yeah.
So for me, my thing's tattoos.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've got these beautiful pieces of art with me all the fucking time, and I love it.
I know, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it is an art collection.
Yes.
And it's a...
And it's a memory collection.
It's a memory. It's the stories. When you said about the women being storytellers...
Yeah.
That really spoke to me.
Right.
Because it is a story. It's a story of my life. Because everything that I choose has meaning and symbolism, which I think is a really funny question. I don't know whether you get this, where people are like, oh, do those tattoos have meaning for
all
you?
All the time. And I love
Yeah, that's why I got them.
Totally. But...
Even if I choose it randomly off the internet.
Sure.
Or,
but I did it for a reason. Okay, so I'm glad that you brought this up, because even if you do just choose a random thing off the internet or a piece off the wall, which is...
Sure.
How American tattooing started.
That is so true.
That still says something about you.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's not as literal as, oh, well, this tattoo represents so-and-so. It still speaks to your aesthetic, and it still says something about your personality. So something that drives me nuts is when people say, like, oh, well, I'd never get a tattoo unless it means something to me.
Mm.
Every tattoo means something to you.
Yeah, I know.
Maybe sometimes it's not at face value,
sure,
but it's gonna say something about you no matter what.
Mm-hmm. So in terms of places of inspiration, I was going back deep in the Instagram, just, you know, for
Okay, so you were stalking me.
Yes, like going as deep as I could. And there was this adorable photo of you in the Dominican Republic.
Yeah,
and you're holding a monkey.
Oh my God.
Yes.
I cried a bit.
A little bit.
Sorry. Like an acceptable, an appropriate amount. We went to this squirrel monkey sanctuary in the Dominican Republic, which was awesome because it wasn't one of those animal exploitation for tourism kind of things. It's more like, okay, you can come in, but you have to wash your hands and your feet. You cannot touch them. Like, there's all these rules in place. It was really great.
And yet it was in your arms. How did you touch?
Oh, so, okay.
Did it choose to touch you?
You just want to know. Yeah, it touched me. So
consensual.
You get a bowl of fruit and they come by.
Oh, of course it's going to come to you now.
But it's really cool because each one of them has their own particular taste. So they'll all come by and they'll kind of root through them and they'll be like, strawberry? No. Cantaloupe? Pineapple? Cha-ching? And then run away with it.
It's adorable.
Yeah, it was super cute.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So did you find after that trip you had a lot of inspiration? Is that the sort of thing that you draw from when you draw?
See what you did.
I'm tricky.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm always inspired just by nature. I mean, what greater inspiration could you possibly have? One of my favorite things to do is just to go for a walk and just kind of make note of the things around me. I've been getting tattooed by Eccle.
Oh, yeah, I love this.
He's been doing my leg sleeve for me. Well, something that he was saying, which I took to heart quite a bit, was just he said that he likes his pieces to have an impact. So it's not even necessarily how big it is, but just you want to have kind of an emotional reaction to the piece that you're viewing. So I've been having a lot of fun with that, a lot of fun with just trying to accentuate the actual canvas, which, of course, the body. Working on kind of my forms and my flow and everything to just try and make everything hit at a really cool place. And see how they bend when somebody moves and stuff like
that's
that.
That's huge hair.
It's huge. And it's something I never really used to think about a ton before. Especially, you know, when you're first starting out and you are doing smaller things and more just kind of little stamps that you're throwing on, which those are fucking cool too. And most of my tattoos that I wear are kind of those sort of...
Yeah, you got like patchwork.
You know, flat
yeah.
kind of put on pieces. But I'm having a lot of fun just kind of looking at anatomy and trying to work that into the actual design.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was chatting with Tiny Miss Becca about the same thing.
Yeah,
she does such big pieces.
Totally.
Yeah.
I look at her work a lot. I've been following her for years and years and years. I'm constantly blown away by the kind of stuff she's doing. It's so cool.
Because a lot of it is so float oriented.
Totally.
And one of the things she was talking about was instead of putting the entire outline on at one time, you really see what the feature portion is.
Totally.
And you get that situated properly.
And that's actually something that I started picking up on when I was getting my first leg sleeve done by Jeff McCann, another artist in Vancouver, because he was kind of saying too, like, well, instead of stenciling the whole thing on, trying to line everything, of course you're going to run out of time if it's something like a leg sleeve or a back piece. Just focus on one section at a time and kind of build it from there. And I've found that also works a lot better for me, just kind of puzzle piecing things together.
Totally.
Yeah, but it's I feel like I get kind of a better fit with the body, kind of working that way. There's less pressure to try and line 8 hours of line work in 3 hours.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I've been building a lot of my pieces up that way, which is a big ask of a lot of clients to be like, okay, so we're just going to line this corner today, but trust me, it's going somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
That's because, like, everyone has different expectations about tattooing as well.
Totally.
This is something I've had a lot of conversations with friends about, actually. People who aren't as versed in the world of tattooing is what is normal. And I think that there's often a disconnect between tattoo artists and clientele as to, don't worry. This is totally normal. I'm going to do this today. Next time we'll do that.
Yep.
This is totally legit. And people get in their heads. They're like, is this how it's supposed to look today? Are we only doing an outline on this portion? Are we just doing, you know, I don't know, whatever it is that's within the artist's best interests and knowledge. They're like, this, I'm the one who knows how to do this piece. Trust me. So it can be a hard,
but that,
it's a hard thing.
It is asking a lot of someone though. Saying, oh, trust me, I'm just doing something permanent on you. It's a lot. And that is kind of one of the reasons that, you know, tattooer-client relationship, it's a pretty intimate thing.
It is.
You have to keep in mind everyone has a different artistic process.
Yeah.
So for some people it will be like, yeah, I'm going to send your drawing to you 2 weeks in advance. And
which is super uncommon now.
I used to. You know? My mentor would always show his drawings to his clients a week before. And then if they had changes to make, he had a week to do it. So that's how I started doing it too. But a problem with that is almost like giving yourself too much time to actually draw it. It gives too much time for people to sit on it and start second guessing.
Right. I could see that.
A little bit, right? Because it's kind of either like, you either like it or you don't.
Sure.
So, and if you don't, it's fine. I'm not, my feelings aren't going to get hurt. But if you like it, but then 3 days later, your friend says that something looks weird.
That's the worst.
Then it's since a lot of the work that I do now is all kind of in the same sort of realm, I'm pretty comfortable with, oh, you want this leaf moved over a little bit, or you want this bud a little bit more open in its state of bloom. I feel like I can do that on the spot. If it's more like we need to adjust the entire layout, then maybe it'll be another time. But it is a little bit of an extra sort of pressure. It's heavy. And when you stop and think about it, I had such a hard time the first few years tattooing with just the weight of it. You know, the permanency and how meaningful it is to people. You know, when you're doing like a memorial tattoo for someone and
huge.
Start to break down and you're just like, oh my fucking God. Like, this is so important to this person. I still remember the first tattoo that I got and how big of a deal it was to me. By the way, my first tattoo was a star outline and it's about the size of a dime.
Do you still have it?
Yes.
You haven't? Right there?
Right there.
Oh, front and center on the wrist.
16. I'm so cool. I've got it.
I know.
Got a tattoo.
I was 16 when I got my first one.
Were
too.
You?
I
went to, what was your first tattoo?
It was a tree. I drew it myself and then I went to Sal's Tattoo and Barber Shop.
On the double line. So my husband is a barber and we're always like, should we open a barber shop, tattoo shop?
Awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. Anyways, I just want to know if there's any sort of things that you're looking forward to doing in the next year.
Sure. I have a couple large-scale paintings in mind.
Ooh.
So I'm currently working on some stuff for our upcoming spring show.
Wonderful.
And then I've got some concepts for the shows ahead as well. Tattooing-wise, yeah, just kind of aiming to go maybe more in a large-scale sort of realm, but I also love having one-shot stuff to do.
Sure.
Because it is refreshing to sometimes just have something you can just...
one day,
mm-hmm. see it to fruition within awesome. The same session. Oh, is like
yes.
incredible.
Well, then we should talk.
I'd love to.
So just to finish this up, you've mentioned so many things about the appearance of women within the scene.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I think, is feminist within itself, because it was a male-dominated scene, and now there's a lot of women in the scene who are doing some really boss work.
Yeah. That doesn't mean, though, that the sexism is completely gone. Yeah.
No, that must be tough, though.
Well, again, it's something that I know so well, mm-hmm. and obviously things have gotten better. I've been in the industry about 10 years, mm-hmm. tattooing full-time about 7. So sure. I still consider myself a rookie.
Mm-hmm.
So even within that amount of time, mm-hmm. things have changed so exponentially.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there are still unique issues
mm-hmm.
that affect women
mm-hmm.
That still, you know, need some work.
Absolutely.
And even saying that, you know, working in a shop in Vancouver, which yeah. is a pretty progressive city,
yeah.
I still know shops here
mm-hmm.
that won't hire women because mm-hmm. they want to keep that sort of boys club
yeah.
mentality going, which I get. One sure. of the things that allured me to tattooing was the tradition and
mm-hmm.
you know, that sort of underground secret, you have to yeah. earn your knowledge kind of
mm-hmm.
world. So I get the romanticism behind yeah. that sort of whole, you know, the whole Sailor Jerry days.
I get all, it.
You know, I get it. But we can maybe also leave the sexism behind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be nice.
That'd be cool.
If there was one take home that you could give to a young women artist who are yeah. looking to gain a little confidence to enter the world of tattooing,
sure.
which can be pretty male dominant.
Yeah.
What would you give to
pretty
them?
Pretty intimidating. I think for me, when I first started out, I definitely felt this pressure to be one of the guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want to be one of the cool girls. You don't want to be that annoying girl that we have to work with, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I found myself, you know, laughing along with the sexist jokes and,
oh God,
you know, trying to be cool and
mm-hmm.
whatever. And anytime that I stood up for myself or for another woman, immediately, it's, oh, here we go, feminist rant, like blah, blah, blah. So I would just say be unapologetically you, and people might not like you for it.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that I deal with a lot, is knowing that, you know, maybe not everyone's gonna really like me, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't all have to get along, but I don't think that you should ever sacrifice your values in order to get ahead. And if you have the work ethic,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think you can get there.
Yeah.
I know that's kind of a little bit of the millennial lie that we're all kind of given as kids, is you're so special. If you just work hard, you can get mm-hmm. wherever you want mm-hmm. to be. But I do believe that if you work hard, you can't fail. And if you have, you know, your moral compass mm-hmm. is set to a certain direction, just
yeah.
follow that. I mean, I remember during my apprenticeship, an artist telling me, you always want to see your work growing by leaps and bounds.
Yes.
And as soon as you start getting stagnant or plateau, mm-hmm. that's kind of when you're in trouble a little
yeah.
bit. So all you can do is kind of
working on it.
Just keep working on it.
And you will go places, baby. Well, you know, I feel like your work is such a testament to working hard mm-hmm. and being unapologetic, because it's obvious that you put in the work. You're, you know, always getting better. I'm so excited to see where your work is in 10 years from now, you know?
Thank you
so much for your time. And I
Thank you.
So look forward to seeing where you go in the future.
Thank you so much for having me.
Next interview, I chat with Luna Millie, a boss babe that tattoos in Victoria, British Columbia. We had a socially distanced conversation a few weeks ago at the start of July. She talked about her two separate apprenticeships in Spain and back in Canada, The shift from working at a biker shop to one of Victoria's most inclusivity advertised shops, and what lessons she learned in those years. She's now moved to another awesome shop in downtown Victoria called Union. Tune in for some of her stories. Thanks for listening.
Spending all my money just to get tattoos. Don't you tell my mama or she'll get the blues. Let's just see how far my tattoo funds go, so I can do this.